The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I don't know about you, but your Monday was, most likely your Monday was, you know, pretty normal. You know, hopefully it's the only Monday you have this week. My Monday was pretty normal. For former President Donald Trump, anything but normal, obviously, if you don't know what happened at Mar-a-Lago on Monday, well, God bless you. That means you've spent the last 2.5 days doing something other than looking at social media or cable news or listening to talk radio or what have you. But yeah, 30 agents, 9 hours. They went so far as to go through Melania's closet and wardrobe, it appears. Trump's lawyer was, quote unquote, there, but they took her down to the end of the driveway, which is about 50 to 100 yards long at Mar-a-Lago. So in some articles, like the Newsweek article I'll take you through, it says, you know, the lawyer was present. Now you got to air quote so many different things these days as you work your way through the news. But obviously unprecedented. We've never had a former president treated this way in terms of the FBI, the Department of Justice, showing up at their private residence after they've left the White House and conducting a raid. And I don't think you can call it anything other than a raid when you have a bunch of guys in SUVs and there's 30 of them and they're in there to and they kick everybody out. And then they go through the whole place literally for 9 hours. How would you feel? I mean, just Joe Blow's citizen, I'd be completely freaked out by that. But if you're Donald Trump, it's just like it harkens back to the Declaration of Independence in many ways on a long line of usurpations. It's like one thing after another. So my question, and I'm going to work through several articles here today for you, if you'd like to call in and share your reaction to this, perhaps you're like level headed and you're like, well, it is Donald Trump. And so let's just wait and see what's in the warrant. They had to have enough information, right? Wink, wink, in order to go see a judge, right? Wink, wink, in order to get the judge to sign off on said warrant, wink, wink, so that they can go do whatever they feel like doing. Does that script sound familiar to you? Have you seen that movie before? Yes, you have. And it was something that largely people thought was incorruptible. That was the FISA warrant process. That was bogus, based on a completely bogus, the Russian dossier, all bogus from top to bottom, 100% political witch hunt. Whether you like Donald Trump or hate him, if you're intellectually honest at all, some of these things you should be scratching your head going, yeah, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It's probably a duck, right? So, but you might be thinking, well, let's wait and see. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're 100% convinced that Donald Trump is, in fact, a scumbag. And so about time, and you hope to see him perp walked one of these days. Maybe that's you. Or perhaps you're convinced in the exact opposite direction. This is nothing but a political hack job. But for what? To what end? Are they trying to destroy Donald Trump so that he can't run for 2024? Or, this is an interesting perspective, maybe they're trying to ensure he runs for 2024 because they're convinced no way can the guy win. And so thus ensuring the Democrats hold on to the White House. Now, who would be in the White House at that point as a Democrat? I have no idea. And then, of course, we're talking about banana republics and third world countries and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, 30 agents, 9 hours. It went so far as to go through Melania's stuff. They busted open, it sounds like Trump's personal safe. Normally in these instances, they would remove something like that, and that would require further action to go bust into the safe. And you'd have to get another warrant or some kind of court order to be able to bust into the safe. But that's not what they did. And then they left with a bunch of different boxes of things. And that's a story that started a while ago. As they've been going back and forth, it seems, on what the National Archives has a right to and what they don't have a right to. And as the president, pretty much you're a public figure. Everything you write, everything you converse, every little piece of thing that's given to you, it's all kind of property of the state. but not 100% of it. They don't need all that stuff. So it's an interesting situation to work through, to say the least. And it's unfolding, okay? We are getting bits and pieces here and there, and you don't know. Everybody's got a narrative. Everybody's got a position. So we all have to be very careful not to shoot first and ask questions later. But I'm going to start with this. Alan Dershowitz, who's no conservative, right? He's a constitutional scholar and a lib. Now, he was took Trump's side on the last impeachment, if you remember that. So he's calling it misconduct, according to him, in an appearance on Newsmax. Such a raid should be a method of last resort unless they can't get the documents through subpoenas or any other lawful means. And we'll get to that. What's going on here with the documents and the law that surrounds that? The raid is supposed to be a last resort, he said, but the administration has used the weaponization of the justice system against its political enemies. And obviously this isn't the first time, right? We've heard this music before. It has arrested people, denied them bail, put them in handcuffs, used all kinds of techniques that are not usually applied to American citizens. I just hope this raid has the justification. If it doesn't have the justification, the material seized in it will be suppressed. This is improper and this is misconduct, he said. We have to find out what the facts are, but we have to make sure the shoe fits on the other foot, that we want to make sure that what is being done here is something the Democrats would not oppose if it were being done to Democrat operatives instead, right? Put the shoe on the other foot. On Fox, Dershowitz took up another issue with the raid, saying that the government would have to show they had a reasonable evidence that this information would be destroyed. Additionally, he said they improperly opened the safe on the premises, which they should not have done. Dershowitz said that, in his opinion, they had, quote, violated the rules of Justice Department. They'd gone after a former president and a future candidate, most likely. And they darn well better have a smoking gun proof, which I don't see happening, he said. Clearly, there's been a double standard, he declared. You don't get a warrant unless a subpoena wouldn't suffice. And so, and then did you hear about the judge? The judge that signed off on the warrant, an Obama donor, yada, 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 and really kind of took up to Hillary's defense and made no big deal of it with the 33,000 emails and all that kind of mess, right? So rules for thee, but not for me. Then there's this, and I'm just going to tee this up and we'll talk about it more when we come back. This is from a Newsweek article, and before you throw that out completely, there's a reason I'm going to go through this, because there's, of course, leaking information and two senior government officials told Newsweek. Now, in the modern world, whenever you hear that, these are people that are not willing, if they exist, and I'm not saying they don't, but these are people that are not willing to be named because there'd be repercussions in their current job, and so you take it with a grain of salt, but we've been burned on that before, have we not? And so the big problem here, and I'll finish today with an article, great article by Ben Shapiro, is the massive distrust we have for our government. We'll be right back. Oh, angels sent from above. You know you make my world light up. When I was down, when I was It's an enigma wrapped inside a mystery, wrapped inside something else. It's some kind of crazy political burrito. That's what's going on with everything about the Trump raid at Mar-a-Lago. He's out of town. They set that up. They waited for that, by the way, because they didn't want him to be there, because they didn't want to turn it into a circus event, a media circus event. For the first time in American history, the Department of Justice utilizing the FBI just raided a former president's house. And one of the most divisive presidents in American history. And you think that's not going to be a media event? There's no way around it. But maybe that's exactly what they wanted. Right? So it's kind of hard to follow the bouncing ball here on this one. Which is why this Newsweek article interested me. So this came out just today. The raid on Mar-a-Lago was based largely on information from an FBI confidential human source, one who was able to identify what classified documents former President Trump was still hiding, and even the location of those documents, two senior government officials told Newsweek. Okay, so did you catch this? Follow the bouncing ball. Two senior government officials told Newsweek they got the information from a confidential FBI human source. So you got a few degrees of separation there, okay? So can you trust this? Who knows? It was deliberately timed to occur when the former president was away. By the way, today in New York, with the Attorney General of New York going after the Trump Organization on their finances, Donald Trump was deposed today. He pleaded the fifth. He said nothing. FBI decision makers in Washington and Miami thought that denying the former president a photo op or a platform from which to grandstand would lower the profile of the event, says one of the sources. That's funny. The effort to keep the raid low-key failed, to say the least. Instead, it prompted a furious response from GOP leaders and Trump supporters. What a spectacular backfire, says the justice official. Quote, I know that there is much speculation out there that this is a political persecution, but it is really the best and the worst of the bureaucracy in action, the official says. They wanted to punctuate the fact that this was a routine law enforcement action, stripped of any political overtones, and yet they got exactly the opposite. How in the world can you take 30 agents into Mar-a-Lago in former President Trump's house and think that that was going to be a routine law enforcement action stripped of any political overtones? Are you that stupid? Are we that stupid? Do they think we're that stupid? Unfortunately, a lot of people are. I'm not one of them. Neither are you. On Monday at about 10 a.m., two dozen FBI agents and technicians showed up at Donald Trump's Florida home to execute a search warrant. They were trying to obtain government documents that might be in the possession of Trump, but are required to be delivered to the archives under the provisions of the 1978 Presidential Records Act. We'll get to that later. The act establishes that presidential records are the property of the U.S. government and not a president's private property. Put in place after Watergate to avoid the abuse of the Nixon administration, the law imposes strict penalties for failure to comply. Quote, whoever having the custody of any such record, listen carefully, proceeding, map, book, document, paper, or other thing, willfully, unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, falsifies, or destroys the same, shall be fined $2,000 and up to 3 years in prison, or, quote, shall forfeit his office and be disqualified from holding any office under the United States, unquote. Bingo! If that's what they're doing, trying to use this law, okay, trying to use the Presidential Records Act, 1978, in order to make sure, because if they find him guilty, then, according to this reading, they think that Trump can't run again. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to go to Andrew McCarthy, who actually served as a federal prosecutor for about 20 plus years. And he blows a big hole in that stupid notion. But we'll get to that. The road to the raid began a year and a half ago when, in the transition from the Trump administration to that of President Joe Biden, there were immediate questions raised by the National Archives and Records Administration as to whether the presidential records turned over to the federal agency for historical preservation were complete or not. Just as a reminder, this is shocking, amazing that this happens. So the day of the inauguration, they moved the current president out. So when he jumps in the limo, if Trump wanted to, and went with Biden to go to Congress, to go to the Capitol to do the inauguration, all that stuff flips in about 6 hours. It's shocking how quickly we can turn over the levers of power from one party to the next, essentially peacefully. I mean, for 200 plus years, it's been peaceful, largely peaceful. In just a matter of hours. So if some boxes here and there get shipped to Florida and still instead of going to the archives, you can imagine in a crazy day like Inauguration Day that stuff like that could happen, right? Sure. So this began a year and a half ago when they started dealing with these issues. In February, archivist David Ferrero testified before Congress that his agency began talking with Trump's people right after they left office and that the Trump camp had already returned 15 boxes of documents to the archives. The guy said in those materials, the archives discovered items, quote, marked as classified national security information, unleashing further inquiries as to whether Trump continued to possess classified material. The basic outlines of the facts surrounding this timeline have been confirmed by the former president. He's previously said that he was returning any official records to the archives, labeling any confusion in the matter as an ordinary and routine process to ensure the preservation of my legacy and in accordance with the Presidential Records Act. He also claimed the archives did not find anything in what he had already been that returned, suggesting that there was nothing sensitive. He said the documents had inadvertently been shipped to Florida during the six-hour transition period in which his belongings were moved. Like I said, it all happens rather quickly. According to the Justice Department source, the archives saw things differently, believing that the former White House was stonewalling and continued to possess authorized material. Earlier this year, they asked the Justice Department to investigate. Oh, yeah, because the people working in the federal government, there's no way any of them could be politically motivated. There's no way of the massive bureaucracy up there in the swamp that there's people there that actually hate Trump and will look for any reason to go after him. They'll use anything. We've seen that. Impeachment 1, Impeachment 2, the January 6th hearings, which haven't done very well. So in late April, back and forth they go. But they didn't treat it the same way that they did with Hillary, right? Hillary, they had the same issue with Bill, by the way. No raids, no front page news. Just give him the benefit of the doubt. Things are crazy. I know it was crazy when we switch. Don't worry about it. In order for the investigators to convince the Florida judge to approve such an unprecedented raid, this is still the Newsweek article, the information had to be solid, which the FBI claims, says the intelligence source. And who signed off on the warrant? That would be an Obama donor, a Democrat. Nothing to worry about there, right? We've heard this story before. According to news reports, some 10 to 15 boxes of documents were removed from the premises on Monday. Donald Trump said in a statement that the FBI opened his personal safe as part of their search. Dershowitz said they shouldn't have done that. That was a problem. We'll see if that comes back around. Trump, listen to this. Trump attorney Lindsey Halligan, who was present during the multi-hour search. She was at the end of the driveway, about 50 to 100 yards away from the house. So in this Newsweek article, apparently they call that being present. So there's all that, right? The senior Justice Department source says that Garland, Merrick Garland, was regularly briefed on the Records Act investigation and that he knew about the grand jury and what material federal prosecutors were seeking. He insists, though, listen to this. I've got some land in Florida, by the way, if you believe this, that Garland had no prior knowledge of the date and time of the specific raid, nor was he asked to approve it. I know it's hard for people to believe, says the official, but this was a matter for the U.S. attorney and the FBI. Once again, do you think we're that stupid? Merrick Garland, the attorney general, the FBI is going to conduct a raid on a former president's house. Never happened in the history of the country. And the attorney general doesn't need to know about it? Is that plausible deniability or just a lie? Probably both. But of course the attorney general would know. Do you think the attorney general might... Mr. President, can I talk to you for a second? There's something about to go down you might want to know about. They really think we're that stupid. We'll be right back. Okay, well, Johnny Cash is talking about when the man comes to town. Merrick Garland and the Biden administration are talking about when 30 FBI agents come to town and spend 9 years in your house and go through everything, including your wife's wardrobe. I mean, you've got some highly sensitive documents. There's Donald Trump, who's no idiot, and he's got highly sensitive documents that he illegally took from the White House. And he's like, Melania, hey, can you hide these in your drawer, like under your underwear? They'll be safe there. Nobody's going to look there, surely. Really? I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, welcome back. This is a great article, really thought-provoking, by Andrew McCarthy, who served, he's at National Review, this is at Fox News, and he served for over 20 years as a federal prosecutor. Okay, the guy's brilliant. He gets it, right? This is his, you're in his wheelhouse here. FBI raid of Trump's Mar-a-Lago home won't help Democrats in 2024. Democrats who hope to ban Trump from running after the FBI raid on his Mar-a-Lago home will not get their wish. Here's what he said. I continue to believe that establishment Democrats want former President Donald Trump to be the Republican presidential nominee in 2024. They calculate that a post-Capitol riot Trump, particularly a Trump bruised by the slick made-for-TV drama series known as the House Judiciary Six Committee hearings, is their best shot at electing a Democrat. Oh, please, Lord, let Trump run. Okay, that's the position he's starting with here. The FBI's search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence is yet another hardball move from that Democrat figure will stoke GOP anger enough to get Trump nominated. From there, Democrats surmise he cannot win a national election, so they would retain the White House. But this is not a universal view on the left. Many progressives, to the contrary, not only want Trump indicted, they want him disqualified by law from seeking the presidency. That was part of their goal in proceeding with impeachment in the waning days of his presidency, followed by a Senate impeachment trial when he was already out of office. One of the Constitution's penalties for impeachment, besides being stripped of power, is disqualification from seeking federal office in the future. That is, if they find in the Senate, they find the president guilty, then they can strip him from any ability to retain office or run for office ever again. Okay? If they found him guilty, they didn't. Andrew goes on to say, this also explains a clause in the Democrat-controlled House's impeachment article, which cites Section 3 of the 14th Amendment as part of the incitement of insurrection allegation. We're going to get into the Constitution here in a second, which is great. misleadingly quoted in this amendment's provision that one who has, quote, engaged in insurrection or rebellion against, quote, unquote, the United States may be disqualified from holding federal office. In reality, this provision does not apply to any person, as the impeachment article asserts, but to a specific list of federal officials. Noticeably absent from that list are the president and the vice president. Why is that? Now comes the latest disqualification gambit. I believe the Justice Department's real purpose in searching Trump's Florida estate is to continue trying to build a criminal case based on the Capitol riot. But the ostensible reason for the search, as we talked about earlier, the pretext, if you will, is suspicion that Trump has mishandled classified information. In other words, this is the key to get them into the door, to get him into the house. But that's not really what they were looking for. That's what Andrew McCarthy is saying here. This, progressives will argue, triggers Section 2071B of the Federal Criminal Code. It prescribes a classified information offense whose penalty includes, quote, being disqualified from holding any office under the United States. It won't work, Andy writes. It's a fundamental tenet of our law that a mere statute cannot alter or override the Constitution. That can legitimately be done only by doing what, class? Amending the Constitution, right? Under the Constitution, the qualifications for the presidency are minimal. One must be at least 35 years of age and a natural-born citizen. Significantly, and as noted above, the Constitution also prescribes the conditions for disqualifying a person from the presidency. He or she must be impeached by the House and convicted by the Senate. That obviously hasn't happened, right? Congress has no authority to change these constitutionally prescribed qualifications and disqualification by statute. If Congress could set the qualifications for the presidency by enacting a statute, then the chief executive would be beholden to the legislative branch, exactly the subservient relationship the founding fathers sought to avoid. Thus, the separation of powers, right? Separation of the branches. There are obviously many criminal offenses that are more serious than the one prescribed by Section 2071B. Indeed, its maximum 3-year imprisonment penalty makes it comparatively minor, even among classified information offenses, particularly compared to the Espionage Act, Section 793, which prescribes far more serious incarceration terms but does not contain a disqualification provision. It would be strange in any event, Andy McCarthy writes, to claim that a Section 2071B crime disqualified a person from seeking the presidency, even though far more egregious events of, say, seditious conspiracy to use force against the government and the murder of a federal officer do not, because the Constitution sets the requirements for who can be the president. And it has nothing to do with whether they violated Section 2071B of the federal code or not. There is, however, no need to argue that point. Section 2071B cannot change the Constitution. To disqualify Donald Trump, or anyone else for that matter, from the presidency, there must be a House impeachment followed by a Senate conviction and disqualification verdict. End of story, writes Andrew McCarthy in Fox News. So they're talking about that. And so this, when you read into that, you go, ooh, this disqualifies. If you're guilty of violating 2071B, the Presidential Records Act, and so if they can find something in that Mar-a-Lago search on Monday, that 9 hours with 30 agents, including Melania's closet, if they can find something and we can pin it to him and he took classified materials that he wasn't supposed to take, boom, we can disqualify this dirtbag from running for office again. See the logic there? See that? Or let's do this. His base will go nuts. He'll love it because it's more attention for him, thus assuring that Donald Trump will announce sometime in the next few months that he's going to run again for president. And we know he's unelectable. Therefore, that'll guarantee us the White House. All right. So these are the political pieces on the chessboard. And I think both of them are valid to consider. Both of them make sense to me. And there's also Trump derangement syndrome. People like Pelosi, people like Schumer, Biden to a certain extent, certainly a lot of people in the Department of Justice absolutely are lunatics when it comes to their hatred of Donald Trump. I mean, beyond logical, beyond just, wow, you need to get a hold of your emotions. It's beyond all that. It's beyond logic that the hatred of the guy is so deep. The pathology is so bizarre that when you get people like that, and have you ever been around a situation like that? When you're like, you know what you're saying makes absolutely no sense. And they're totally convinced that they're right or justified. And so they just keep going. And you're like this crazed animal caught in a corner. They'll do anything they can until they see Donald Trump perp walked in an orange jumpsuit and behind bars. And anything short of that's just not going to satisfy them. It's absolute political bloodlust. Or they're thinking, like, really? You took some things out that you should have stayed behind, and you're going to drop 30 FBI agents? Make sure Trump's not in town, because we don't want him to, you know, make a big deal out of this. When he's the one that broke it. And then the White House, including the press secretary, is like, we didn't know what was happening until we saw it on the mainstream media and social media. That's how we found out. I'm like, sure it is. Right? That's believable. Your FBI, your Department of Justice, just invaded the private home of a former president who most likely is going to be your political opponent within the next 3 or 4 or 6 months. And nobody really knew about that at the highest levels. Merrick Garland, Joe Biden. Really? The whole thing stinks to high heaven. But to a certain extent, we have to wait. But they say, you know, hey, wait, let's see what's in the warrant. That doesn't matter either. It doesn't matter either. Wait till it's in the warrant. They had a FISA warrant to spy on Trump's organization. And that was based purely on a made-up lie paid for by Hillary Clinton, the DNC. The famous, now infamous, Russian dossier. Having Donald Trump do all these kind of crazy things over there in Russia, and they're trying to blackmail him for it, right? They rolled that whole party out onto the street, and it was all bogus from the start. And they knew it. So to think like it matters anymore, this is where the distrust, and I'm going to finish with this article from Shapiro in the last segment. We're looking at a political crisis, he writes. And I agree with him. Because now it's just our trust in the government institution itself, the federal government institution, it's got to be an all-time low. Where you just don't trust anything. The FBI says, yeah, whatever. The Department of Justice says, yeah, whatever. Mayorkas says the southern border is under control. What? The southern border looks like the Red Sea being parted and then dumped in on Pharaoh and his soldiers. It's just a flood. Or let's go back to Noah. Flooding the earth. That's what the southern border looks like. And Mayorkas says, the southern border is under control. Immigration's under control. What? You think we're that stupid? They do. You're that stupid. Congratulations. Go sit in the corner and get your dunce cap on, because that's you, friend. You're that stupid, and they can tell you anything, and it doesn't matter what you think. That's the United States of America, apparently, today. When we come back, Ben Shapiro's article, A Political Crisis. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So you want to run for president, huh? You want to throw your hat in there? And but Steve, yes, I've got a felony on my record. That's all right. No problem. You can still run. But Steve, I have a misdemeanor on there. A couple of them. No problem. You can still run. But Steve, I lost my license once and got a DUI. All right. You can still run for president. That doesn't disqualify you. Yeah, but Steve, when I worked in the federal government and I worked in the White House in the West Wing, I took some things out of the West Wing once the president I was serving lost, once he was out. I took some things with me. Therefore, I violated Section 2071B of the federal code, which then says that you can never hold office again. So I guess my dream of being the president just died. No, it didn't. Here's my question for you. It's twofold. Are you at least 35 years of age? Yes, I am, Steve. Cool. One more. Cliffhanger. Are you a natural born citizen of the United States? Yes, I am. Well, congratulations, friend. Congratulations, citizen. Congratulations, American. You can run for the presidency of the United States. But even with that other stuff on my record, yes, even with all of that. Maybe you don't like guacamole. I can't vote for you, but you can still run for president, right? So the Democrats, if they're trying to use 2071B and bust him for taking things out that he shouldn't have taken out, doesn't disqualify him from running because of that pesky little thing called the U.S. Constitution. And that's the problem, isn't it? The Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, is the proverbial finger in the dike. It's the little boy with his finger in the dike. And if we could just get rid of him, then we open the floodgates and we can fundamentally change what America is. We can get rid of the Second Amendment. We can get rid of the First Amendment. Man, we can turn this place into the Venezuela we've always hoped it could be. That's the Constitution's got to go. And it doesn't help that we have an increasingly large percentage of Americans who've never read it, don't even understand what's in it or how it works. They're massively ignorant. And what a shock, only 10 states in the union require civics education at the high school level. I wonder why the progressive education system in the last 120 years has tried to get rid of common civic knowledge. I wonder why, like to what end? Why do you think? Which is one of the reasons I teach it. Civics, U.S. history, and Christian ethics. You got a kid in high school, son or daughter in high school, eighth grade maybe. I still have some room in a couple of my classes here in the Raleigh-Cary area of North Carolina. Go to nobleuschool.com. Steve, are you pumping up your own school? Yes, I am. Nobleuschool, U as in you, university. Nobleuschool.com. Go check it out. Oh, but my kids are in public school. Fine. We're about to make it possible to audit the course. You can audit it. You don't have to do the homework. You don't have to take tests. But they're getting the blue pill all day long in the public school system. I'll give them the red pill. It'd be good use of an hour and 15 minutes of their time every week to watch the class that I just taught on U.S. history or civics. Not doing ethics that way. And for you adults out there that need to brush up, which is, I love you, but probably most of you. Or maybe you've never learned about, you didn't ever looked at U.S. history through a biblical lens. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You'll be able to audit it as well. You can watch one out of my 32 or 34 classes in the next two semesters. You can watch them all. That'll be up to you. That's just something I feel compelled and obligated to do in order to try to affect the next generation and trust the Lord with the results of that. But it's the Constitution. Got to get that puppy out of the way. Got to get it out of the way. And you don't have to be 35 and you don't have to be a natural born citizen. Okay, Ben Shapiro. We're looking at a political crisis. Here's the bottom line, Ben writes. The FBI is not trusted by a significant percentage of Americans. Wow. Sad but true. What the FBI just did requires extraordinary institutional trust. But this is an FBI under the auspices of a current administration raiding the home of the leader of the last administration and the likeliest potential nominee for the opposition come 2024. The raid appears to be pretextual because if you're going to do something like this, there had darn well better be a crime. The crime can't be something like, well, the president of the United States brought stuff with him when he left office. Bill Clinton brought half the White House with him when he left the office and he was never raided. It can't be, you know, the president of the United States has a battle with the National Archives over material, especially if what we are talking about here is not particularly important material. It must be more than that, Ben Shapiro writes. Then there's the problem that the president of the United States has plenary authority to declassify anything he wants while he's in office. So all the other cases being referenced this week with regard to situations in which people have mishandled classified material are referring to people who were not the president of the United States. For example, former Clinton National Security Advisor Sandy Berger received a misdemeanor charge in 2015 for stuffing classified documents down his pants, the front and the back and the socks, by the way. And in 2016, the FBI investigated none other than Hillary Clinton, her mishandling of classified documentation. She could not declassify anything. She was the Secretary of State. She was not the president. And then for several years under President Trump, the FBI actively attempted to undermine the president of the United States on pretextual information provided by the Clinton campaign on the basis of the Steele dossier. James Comey and all those fools. That was a joke. Okay? Trust in the FBI is at an all-time low, Ben Shapiro writes. And yet it's the FBI under Christopher Wray, apparently with a warrant that had not been that had to be signed off by the Department of Justice and Attorney General Merrick Garland, now initiating a raid into the former president of the United States. Could there theoretically in some world be a rationale for this sort of activity? Sure, there could. But it's going to have to be a darned extraordinarily solid, bedrock solid, rationale with serious underlying evidence. It had better be, or what we're looking at is a political crisis. When a current administration is investigating former administrations to the point of sending the FBI into their home to pick up documents on the basis of not handing them over to the National Archives, even during negotiating, it looks more like an attempt to take Donald Trump out of the running come 2024 than anything else. But here is what we do know. If there is no extraordinary basis for this raid, then what we are looking at is a crisis in American governance right now. It looks like the intelligence apparatus is being weaponized against the opponents of a political administration. Which, this isn't new, Ben. Remember, Obama did it with the IRS to go after, well, people like me and people like Ben Shapiro. Any conservative. They use the IRS. They weaponize the IRS. They're going to weaponize the entire federal government. Against whom? Political adversaries. Whether they're the former president or you, little boy, little girl, little man, little woman, little nobody out there in America. Anti-vaxxer, whatever the case may be. Homeschooler. Originalist. Christian. And down the road, if this comes to nothing and Donald Trump runs and loses, do you think there are going to be a lot of people who are going to trust that he actually lost? Here we go again. Again, the trust in our institutions is so low right now, and they're exacerbating all of the worst possibilities in American politics. And Ben Shapiro writes, I'm amazed to see so many people on the left today, people highly critical of the cops, are saying things like, well, you know, they wouldn't do this without a basis. Really? Wouldn't they? You guys were defunding the police 5 seconds ago, but now they're targeting your political opponents. You're all in favor of it? The people who are doubtful, the people who think this is a crisis, are not wrong so far until the evidence is shown. No one is taking this one on faith. No one. Christopher Wray of the FBI needs to show us what he's doing. Merrick Garland, the attorney general, needs to show us what he's doing, considering that he spent the Biden presidency going after police departments for no reason, suggesting to go after states if they don't cram down gender-affirming health care, as well as calling, you know, your parents that show up at a school board meeting to protest. You're a domestic terrorist, right? Why exactly would I trust you? Ben Shapiro writes, according to the New York Times, the law governing the preservation of White House materials, the Presidential Records Act, lacks teeth, but criminal statutes can come into play, especially in the case of classified material. Criminal codes, which carry jail time, be used to prosecute anyone who willfully injures or any depredation against any property of the United States, and anyone who, quote, willfully and unlawfully conceals from those, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys government documents. This is amazing, Ben Shapiro writes. The statute that Hillary Clinton was investigated under did not suggest that she needed to have intent to, for example, give the documents to a foreign adversary. All it suggested was the negligence in the handling of the documents was criminal. But Comey completely rewrote that statute. Why? Because he didn't want to indict the actual nominee of the Democrat Party at the time. What a shock. According to the New York Times, the items in the boxes seized by the FBI included documents, mementos, gifts, and letters. The archives do not describe the classified material it found other than to say it was classified national security information. They don't even know whether he declassified this material and they're still raiding him? This is Ben Shapiro. If that is what this boils down to, some sort of miscommunication in which the FBI goes after the former president of the U.S. for a raid on his home. Because there was some miscommunication about the identification of documents, there's going to be hell to pay. The adjudication of how this is going to work in our politics going forward, if all of the institutions of our government are mobilized against one side, is going to get really ugly. I would say, Ben Shapiro, that it already is. This isn't a destination we're getting to. This is the destination we've already arrived at. And they feel so good about doing it because they've been able to do everything else. If they can change the definition of marriage, change the definition of gender and sex, who says they're not willing to change the definition of justice? But that darn Constitution. Hey, friends, we got to figure out a way to get rid of that thing. Wow, pray for the nation. Pray for truth to run down like a river. Because our God, the God of the Bible, is a God of justice. And we better be praying for that. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.